is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'll be hanging out with you for one more hour. This show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta. Our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey, is in New York City. And we've had one hell of a show, a busy show. Thank you all so much to former NBA All-Star Carlos Boozer for coming by to talk shop on the NBA. We're getting ready for the first set of NBA play-in games tomorrow. We got the Memphis Grizzlies and the Warriors. I think that's the only play-in game worth watching. And then we get the actual playoffs. They get started on Saturday. Thank you so much to Wes Reynolds, host at VSiN, also host of the Long Shots podcast, to talk about Rory McIlroy, the man who walked away with his first Masters victory yesterday, is now the sixth man to complete a Grand Slam. Hey, we just talked about Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter. Both Shador and Travis, this upcoming Saturday, it's been announced by Colorado that they will have their numbers retired at the school. Yeah, they just left the school and their numbers are already getting retired. Congratulations to Paige Beckers. She is now the number one overall pick in the 2025 WNBA draft. She's going to Dallas. So if you live in the Metroplex, then she'll be a great addition next to Erika Ogunbowale. Good for her. Nico Amaliava. Hickey, these are a lot of names. I'm trying my best here on the pronunciations, okay?
I give you credit for having the courage to even attempt back-to-back names like that.
Erika Ogunbowale.
Bang.
Is a starter for the Dallas Wings. Nico Amaliava. No longer the starter. He got distracted for a minute. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, by the last name or
no, I'm TV? I'm watching the WNBA draft.
Mm.
Yeah. Where's Madison Scott play for Ole Miss? Oh, she's also, is that Dallas? She's going to Dallas too? Good for her. Hickey, what pick is this?
I don't know.
No, we don't know. I don't know either. Come on, we already had the... I don't know. What do we call it? We've already had... It's not pleasure. We've had the displeasure? Is that what you call it? I don't know.
Well, what's the rest of the sentence?
Understanding that a lot of these young ladies who are drafted in the WNBA don't even make the teams because there's not enough teams and the roster's already filled.
I would say we have the displeasure of having to face that reality of what is a joyous night tonight. Also, knowing in the back of your mind, a lot of not everyone getting drafted over the next three rounds will be on the roster come week one.
Yeah, that's not a nice thing. How many WNBA players drafted make the roster? This is sad, man. They got to start that at one. In the WNBA, not all draft picks make a roster. In the 2023 WNBA draft, only 15 out of 36 drafted players made the opening day roster. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Bruh, 15? Damn.
So basically the first round, you're good. It's kind of like the NBA, I guess, right? First round, you're pretty good in terms of making the roster. Second round, it's just a crapshoot.
Oh, my
wow.
God. Wow. No wonder. A lot of these young women, they still got to go to Europe, I guess, right? I don't know. It's tough. What a world.
I'm assuming so. They get signing bonuses, right, for being drafted? Like, do you sign a contract? Or do you sign the contract after you make the team?
These WNBA players?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see what this money looks like.
The highest, you get a few quick bucks, maybe.
I don't know about no bonus, bro. Come on now. When Caitlin Clark entered the league last season, Caitlin got a four-year deal. Oh, my God. Hickey, she made Caitlin Clark, just on her rookie contract, she made $76,000.
I saw Paige Beckers just signed a three-year deal with Unrivaled, and they said, I believe it's double or triple the amount that she's going to get in her rookie deal.
She will make more. Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, the money's not there yet. What are we supposed to know, right?
But I guess in terms of what I'm trying to say about, like, oh, maybe if you get drafted, is there some sort of bonus like there is in almost every other sport?
I don't think
that
so.
Probably leads itself to saying, no, there's not.
No, I don't think so. Let's keep in mind, they start playing, what, in like 3 weeks, a month?
Yeah, I think the season starts in about a month, right? It's like May 14th, yeah. May 15th.
What am I giving you a bonus for? You showing up to work next week. You got to come to work anyway. The highest paid players in the WNBA make a quarter mil a year, so about $250.
There's you said that's the highest?
Yes. Kelsey Mitchell from the Indiana Fever made $250 last year. Arike Ogunbowale of the Wings made $250. Jewel Lloyd of the Aces made $250. Kalia Cooper made $250. And then the fifth highest paid, Gabby Williams, $225. Yeah.
Wait, what's Asia Wilson making?
This is a good question. Here we go.
Multiple-time MVP. I mean, I would argue until Caitlin came last year, the biggest face in WNBA basketball. She has her own shoe line now. She's even making the max?
She made $200 last year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great deal.
She made $200. Yep, she's not in the top 10. Nope.
Wow.
Not in the top 20. Notable names like...
You might have his agent.
Yeah, notable names like Asia Wilson, Chelsea Gray, Caitlin Clark, who only made $78,000, are outside the top 20. There you have it. They still got a ways to go before they make money, all right? And everybody wanted to take a dump on Caitlin Clark, and they wouldn't be making as much money if it wasn't for her in the first place. They'd still be on a... They'd be flying on a plane next to me if it wasn't for her.
Could you imagine?
What?
Obviously, you're on the plane. All of a sudden, you sit next to two WNBA players that are tall. And it's going to be tough.
Yeah, well, what? Who we just get here in Atlanta? We talked about it. She's 6'9".
Brittany Griner?
Yeah, Brittany Griner, yeah. They had this lady on in coach. He's 6'9", Hickey. Come on, man.
Not a lot of leg room.
Yeah, not a lot of leg room for her.
I mean, the emergency exit.
Yeah. I'm going to connect with her now that she's here in Atlanta. I got to get a hold of her before the season starts, Hickey. We'll get Brittany Griner on the show. I'll work on that one. We can ask her, hey, how was that for you flying coach? Probably get punched in the head, but I'll ask.
Do you like the aisle, I'm assuming? What happens if they don't move? How's the middle? Is that no go?
Yeah, got to stretch out. Yeah, no preferential treatment, unfortunately, for the WNBA players. Right before we went to break, we talked about, I guess we can consider this to be preferential treatment. Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter will have their numbers retired at the University of Colorado. Yeah, well, Travis Hunter just won a Heisman. And Shedeur, well, he just broke a lot of records at Colorado. But I think more importantly, when you take a look at both young men, look at the coach. Like, the team and the organization, the school is pretty much being run right now. The program is being ran and run by Deion Sanders. And so I think it's a little early to retire the numbers. But I guess if you're Deion, you kind of want to strike while the iron is hot. I find it to be too soon. I take no issue with Shedeur having his number retired as well. Everything with this group and this crew, it's all a package deal. Hickey doesn't agree with Shedeur having his number retired. Also agrees with me that it's like ridiculously early. They're going to do this on Saturday at their spring game, which Deion pretty much said is just an... What is it now, Hickey? What are they doing? An internal scrimmage? He didn't want to show the players off.
Scrimmage, showcase. You know, they have all different fancy names now to dress up what was a spring game. Basically now is a spring practice.
Ah, it's a practice. Okay. But Shedeur will be there on Saturday with Travis to get their numbers retired. But then Shedeur is also going to be busy. He has a meeting this week, Hickey. Who's he meeting with?
He is a private workout with the New York Giants.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Who are planning, according to reports, not just a Shedeur private workout, but they're kind of circling back now on every possible quarterback option they could look at.
So the New York Giants, basically, there is no Hard Knocks this year, off-season edition, because the New York Giants embarrassed themselves. And so ultimately, the New York Giants are doing this workout with Shedeur to not embarrass themselves again, I gather. Is this what this is?
I guess to be sure, right? I mean, now it's closer to the draft. Maybe, you know, you'd think of some questions, you watch some more tape, you have some specific things you want to ask or look for that you can, because you have the benefit of time, you can kind of prepare. That's why you do it so late. That's what I'm guessing here.
Wow. Why don't they just go the safe route and get Abdul Carter? Like, if you're the New York Giants and your whole identity when you've actually been winners has been based on defense, continue to build up the defense. And I don't want to say just one day eventually just throw a quarterback back there. I mean, I'm not expecting Russell Wilson. I'm not sure as hell not expecting Jameis Winston or Tommy DeVito to deliver a championship to the New York Giants. But I think you fill out the defense and you can get a QB in there. Like, look at what the Rams ended up doing. They sent Goff to the Detroit Lions. We thought the Lions were going to be, I thought that they were going to be ass. They ended up being Super Bowl contenders. I mean, the old gambling coach can't get out of the way. And then Goff, I mean, he turned into a pumpkin. But they're a formidable team. Like, you don't have to draft a QB to ultimately have success. It's nice if you have one. But are the New York Giants going to be that bad? Are they going to be that miserable that they're going to be back in this position next year? I don't know about that. And if you are that bad, then so be it. But at least stock up the roster, get talent. I mean, if Shador isn't the guy, we already know Cam Ward is going to be gone. Just wait. Like, everybody's in such a rush, and I get it. Jobs are on the line, but if you're the New York Giants, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, they're likely to get fired anyway. I thought it was cool. I like the idea of Shador in New York, but I think it's a better idea for Shador to be in New Orleans with the Saints. Inside, on the turf, away from the New York media that's going to chew him up and spit him out. It'll probably take 1 week before Deion Sanders is on social media defending his son. New Orleans is a better option. If I'm Shador, I want Louisiana. I don't want New York. Hickey, what are your thoughts? If I'm the Giants at this point, just stay away.
I agree on both ends. I agree with the Giants in terms of leaning into their defensive identity, especially on the defensive line, and getting a guy in Abdul Carter that can kind of fill in that Justin Tuck role, Michael Strahan.
Yeah, get the quarterback.
Be there for another decade. I'm with you. I think the best fit for Shador is the Saints. You mentioned the dome, the kind of the expectations, but also, too, there is some talent there. The offensive line is not horrible. You have Chris Olave. You have Alvin Kamara until he gets in trouble again. Like, there are some pieces there to work with if you're Shador, where you're not going to a place where the cupboard is barren.
And so we've also learned here. Yeah, it's just right. The Giants don't rush it. And I think if you're Mara, Hickey, he's been so patient already. Is he just now going to just push the eject button? Like, the New York Giants would have to be a complete disaster every single week for him to fire those guys and start over. I think despite fans wanting to get rid of the coach and the GM, I think he's going to be patient throughout the process.
Especially when he's been quick on the trigger and fired two coaches in a row after 2 years, I think he would lean back to more conservative nature and see at least how this plays out. Like, if they win 7 games next year, I would probably guess Daboll and Shane are back in 2026.
I think so. And speaking of making appearances, we have found out some of the names who are actually going to be attending the draft next week in Green Bay. So Cam Ward, he's going to be there. Jackson Dart will be there. Jalen Milroe will be there. And Shador Sanders, he was not announced to be in attendance. Travis Hunter will be there. Matthew Golden. Tetaroa McMillan will be there. Abdul Carter will be there. Ashton Gentry will be. Hickey, what's the deal with Shador? He doesn't want to take a fall, right? He doesn't want to have that Will Levis experience.
He does not have to worry about that. Like, guys like Jalen Milroe and Jackson Dart should be worrying about that. We're sitting in the green room all night, not drafted. I don't think Shador has to worry about him sitting there like Aaron Rodgers, and you're sitting there pick 21, 22. Oh, my God, I can't believe I haven't gone yet. Brady Quinn, even Lamar Jackson, right, sat around at 32. I think I would be shocked if Shador's on the board past 9.
Okay. I agree with you there. Wow.
Maybe he's got his own event. He's a rapper himself. Maybe he's hosting his own concert.
Excuse me, who's a rapper?
Shador.
No, he does. No, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, he's had shows. There was some controversy about Dion kind of forcing the team to go watch him perform.
Shador Sanders does music?
Yeah. At least he did 2 years ago. I think he still does it this year.
I've never heard of this, Icky. Come on.
I'm not. Would I lie to you, JR? Come on.
No, I'm not saying you're lying. I just.
So maybe he's having his own draft party. Then after he's drafted, it will maybe put on a little bit of a show for the people that are in attendance.
That's another reason to keep him out of New York, Icky, okay? Shador Sanders ends up on the New York Giants, and the next thing you know, he's filming videos in the Bronx and just. It sounds like a bad idea. Send him, and New Orleans may not be no better, but. Oh, my God. And speaking of New Orleans, oh, what a terrible, terrible story that we got over the weekend with Lacey. We'll talk about that in a minute. It's just so much that is going on here in the world of sports. We got Colorado players getting their numbers retired. We got Rory McIlroy. We got the WNBA draft. We got the play-in. We're going to talk more about all of this on the other side of the break. We'll talk about this terrible situation with Kyron Lacey, of course, at the end of the show. Let's talk about a few things that happened this day in sports history. And if you want to call up, you can do that, too. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. I hope you had an amazing Monday. I hope your Monday was similar to what Rory McIlroy experienced today. That's all I can hope for. I'm getting some more sports on the other side. The JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Right before we went to break, we talked about Shador Sanders, also Travis Hunter. We've learned just in the span of the past hour or so that both of these young men are going to have their numbers retired at the University of Colorado. They've been there for 2 years. No big, gigantic wins, but obviously a big impact on the school, on the community, on the school's bottom line. And they're going to be honored on Saturday during their spring game, this exhibition, this scrimmage, this practice. They're going to retire both of their numbers. No big deal to me. I mean, Dion is running the show. And Travis Hunter, understandably so. Shador, I'm not mad at him. Like, Dion is, he's running things. They wouldn't have what they have now if it wasn't for the impact of these two. I'm not all that upset about it. Just pretty aggressive timing, but hey, they're going to do things on their own time. Ain't no sweat off my back. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Norman is calling up from Oklahoma, maybe in Norman. Norman, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up?
Hey, JR.
Yes.
First time caller. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to say congratulations to Shador and Travis. I think part of it has something to do with them coming to Colorado as juniors, coming from a HBCU, and then having the kind of success that they had at Colorado. Think it was great. I can't remember any time in my lifetime where something like that ever happened.
Yeah.
Anywhere. I want to speak about Nico.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you guys are mischaracterizing that situation. He could have stayed there if he wanted to. So it's not Tennessee booting him. He booted Tennessee.
Oh, wait. Norman, I don't think that's mischaracterization. We basically said, dating back to last week, he asked for more money. Okay? Yeah, he could have stayed, but he didn't. Yeah. They told him, we are not paying you any more money. He got the boot ultimately. What's the difference?
He said, bye. Excuse me. He said, bye-bye. And I also want to bring up, I just read a story today about there were multiple Tennessee players that asked for more money before they went to the playoffs just this last year.
Yeah,
there were plenty of them. They included him. They were going to sit out because they felt like they had played 12 games or whatever. They played a 13th game, then they play in the playoffs, whatever. It felt like they deserved more money. The schools got more money, and basically these players, these young children now, these guys,
young children.
They're 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. Yeah.
Oh, they're young children. Okay.
Yeah, they're young. Yes. Okay. And they're rearing themselves as business people. And they're doing what any business person would do.
No,
that is make decisions. I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm just trying to give a point. I'll get out of here.
Oh, thank you. Finish. Go ahead.
Yeah. They're making business decisions. They're doing the same thing that any other business person would do. And I think the problem with what people have is now that there's a bunch of non-white players that's getting paid millions of dollars to do what they used to do for basically free, people have a problem with it now.
Okay.
I think that's what's really going on.
You're saying a lot, Norman. Some I agree with, some I don't, but I think you're conflating a bunch. And so I want to try to be concise here in response to you. Mm-hmm. We had a caller who called last week, and thank you, Norman, for calling from Oklahoma. We had a guy who called last week, and he said, "Oh, I'm so happy that we got Tennessee here, and they're putting their foot down, and this is what we don't need, and the students need to be so happy that they got an education." And it's just like, oh, here we go again. Like, what are we doing? Going back in time. These students, I don't care if you were black or white or yellow or purple or pink or anything in between. All of them, every single one of them, forever should have been able to make money. They always deserved a share of the pie. Period. Okay. The NCAA didn't do that. And because of their lack of oversight, it's why we have a massive, huge problem now. Because the cat is out the bag. The players can now make money off of their name, image, and likeness. They can go ahead and do marketing deals, which was just, it was ridiculous to think about that wasn't the case. Okay. When it comes to Nico Iamaliava, there is no way in hell, none, zero, that I would say that at this point in this man's career, that I would call him a child. Or I'd say he's, like, you can't have it both ways. You can't look at him and say they're young children. He's a young child. Okay. And now he's making business decisions. Apparently, his father is making the business decisions because he's not operating as an agent. He doesn't have an agent. And so what I see here, Tennessee, by not giving in, they did give him the boot. They could have capitulated. They could have said, hey, you know what? Why not? We went to the college football playoff. Here, we'll throw in another $500,000. They could make the decision, too, that they want. The decision that he made was to hold out. He made that decision. You think he just meant to say bye-bye, or did his dad make that decision for him? We don't know. And, yes, we can talk about other Tennessee players. I mean, we talked last week about the quarterback from Nevada who decided to quit halfway through the season because he felt that they weren't giving him the money that he deserves. And so at what point do you say, hey, I'm going to stick it out? And yes, we know the college system is becoming more like the pros. Okay, we never had no guy hold out. Come on now. Tennessee said, we're not giving in. And so whether or not you want to say they mutually agree to part ways or everybody's acting as a businessman, one thing that I won't do is look at a college student, okay, and call a guy a child. And now he's making adult decisions. They can make decisions that they want. Here in Georgia, we had Carson Beck, who decided he didn't want to play here no more. He wanted to take him and his famous girlfriend, who's, I guess, they're no longer together, and he wanted to go down to Miami and make more money. So he went. More power to him. This is what needs to be understood. There needs to be parameters for the game. The players have more freedom, as they should have always had, and the ability to make more money. They needed it with some structure for the benefit not just of them, but for the game as well. And so that's why we got these ridiculous situations. I'm not mad at anybody going out there to get money. But to look at Tennessee and look at the season that Nico Iamaliava had, and to think that he was justified in saying, give me more money, is that a child's decision or is that his dad's decision? I think he would have stayed there if his dad didn't say, oh, we got to find some more money. We just went to the playoff. Well, you sucked. It seems like a dumb decision to me. I would have stayed my behind at Tennessee and built my draft stock. That's not to say he's not going to go to UCLA or somewhere else and, I don't know, light it up. Where other people may look at him and just go, what the hell were you doing? Why are you trying to be the first dude to hold out? It was my dad. It wasn't me. So is your dad still here? We got to worry about your dad into the future? Like, I'm not standing for that. I think Tennessee did what was right for them. And I don't know if Nico Iamaliava did what was right for him. Time will tell. This guy's name is not Arch Manning. He ain't good enough to be sticking somebody up. Like, there's a difference. I mean, even if we look at the NFL side, what leg and leverage does Russell Wilson have to stand on for anything today? What leg does he have to stand on? He ain't Patrick Mahomes. If Patrick Mahomes said, hey, guys, by the way, and he's a good businessman, he got a long-ass contract, they're just going to kick his money on down the road forever. Patrick Mahomes has leverage to say, hey, guys, I think it's time to pay me, but he's not dumb. Nico Iamaliava, I don't know what the hell they're doing. Hickey, do they know what they're doing? I have no idea.
No idea what they're doing.
We need more money. Pay us more money. Are you Arch Manning? I don't know. We'll pay you more money for. You have any other thoughts for what you just heard, Hickey, from him? Norman in Oklahoma?
I do not. No. I think you actually hit it perfectly.
Yeah, he said bye-bye to them? If he was so good, they wouldn't let him leave. They would have paid him. I don't know. Maybe Nico needs to look in the mirror. Maybe his dad does. Come on. Marco, you're going to hold out on us now, Marco? We like you here.
No, I have less leverage.
Than Nico Iamaliava?
Yeah, let's be fair.
All right. What a world. College athlete sticking up to school. He'd get some more money if he was good. Or better. Let me just say better. Better. Good luck wherever he ends up next. Okay? Everybody wants the buck. Sometimes you got to be smart in how you go out there and get it. I don't think they were smart in this regard. Let's see what he does. New system. He can learn it over the course of a few months and see what attention he gets back in California. Apparently, if that's where he stays. So the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Yeah, Shador's getting his number retired to Colorado. Him and Travis Hunter. Nico Iamaliava, they ain't retiring his number at Tennessee. Let's just go ahead and make that statement right away. When we come back, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. We'll talk about the unfortunate story that really hit LSU over the weekend. So much more to do before we roll out.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Hickey, I ran a couple miles earlier today. Just a couple.
What is that, like two?
Yeah, just a couple. That's okay. Just two.
Quickly?
Yeah, just busted it out.
Nice.
Nothing else. Yeah. I feel accomplished. Other people out here running marathons and sick. Yeah, I don't do that stuff, okay?
Bad for your body.
What, marathons?
Yeah, it's a lot of toll.
My little brother's getting ready to run. It's got to be his third marathon, Hickey,
oh,
I think.
Wow.
His third? Like, what are you doing this for? He's like, I got to get in shape. I'm like, okay, not me. I'm not doing that. There was a point in time where I said one day I'd do it once. Just one run, one marathon. I quit on that idea years ago. I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not doing that. Like, why do I want to do that to my joints? My knees are already bad. I'm not trying to destroy my knees and pain my feet. Like, why? Hickey, if I did it and I won money, I'd consider it. But what am I getting at the end of the marathon outside of, self-satisfaction?
Nothing. You get a whole lot of pain the next few days, that's for sure.
Remember when Diddy ran the city? Remember that?
No.
Diddy runs. You don't remember when Puff Daddy ran a marathon?
No. That's I mean, it's a great rhyme, but that's a thing?
Yeah, Diddy runs the city. It was a whole thing. You
missed
can Google it.
Huh.
Yeah.
How long did it take? Do you know?
Him? I don't know. It takes the slowest person, what, 5-ish hours, 6 hours?
And probably closer to 6.
Puff Daddy ran a New York City marathon in 2003.
Oh, wow.
He finished in 4 hours and 14 minutes. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. Wow.
Wow. Whoa.
He's in good shape.
Can he run now?
Well, I guess the only time he'll be outdoors, right?
What, just in a loop?
In a 10 by 20 fenced off area, yeah.
Oh, my God.
How many laps you got to hit to hit a marathon there?
I think his case opens. I think that starts soon, man. It's just, it's bad. I don't know what his deal is. He may never be outside again. I have no idea. And then this is an awful, awful, awful story that we got over the weekend with Kyron Lacy. Apparently committing suicide over the weekend, and he was scheduled to, you know, face some charges from a wrong way death a couple of months ago. And apparently he was, you know, matter of fact, let's listen to this report. This is from WVUE News 8 down in New Orleans.
Our top story tonight, former LSU wide receiver Kyron Lacy has died at the age of 24 in Houston. The Harris County Sheriff's Office says Lacy was found dead in his car after a police chase, and deputies say he shot himself. For the Sheriff's Office in Texas also says that Lacy was arguing with a family member before that shooting into the ground and fleeing late last night. Now, he was expected to be in court tomorrow in Lafourche Parish after he was accused of being in a hit-and-run crash in December that left a 78-year-old man dead.
Oh, my God. Like, these are the stories that just, like, life is fragile. And for someone 24 years old, this man, he was on the football field last year. And now it's just gone. Just like that. It's times you just got to keep things, you know, in perspective. Much love to his family as they have to go through all of this. And the family of the person who passed away in the opposing car in December as well. It's just, yeah, it's sad and terrible all the way around. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. It is the end of the show, which does mean it's time for us to take a look at a few things that took place this day in sports history.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for This Day in Sports History.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything. And it was primitive and lousy and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Today, as it's been all day, is April 14th. The year is 2025. A lot of talk about a lot of conversations surrounding Rory McIlroy. But if we go back to 1996, April 14th, there's another golfer. Well, he didn't get over the hump. He did have a breakdown. His name, Greg Norman. This man shot a 78 to blow a 6-stroke lead at the Masters, allowing Nick Faldo to go out there and win his third. This is post-match. This is Greg Norman back in 1996, just giving the details to CBS Sports on what the hell went wrong.
Well, I really don't know. I hadn't had a chance to think about it yet, but obviously I didn't play as well as I didn't putt very well today. It was just one of those things that things just didn't go my way. And Nick played a great round. He played very solid, very steady, and it was all my mistakes.
All his mistakes. Man, he won the Open in 1993. He won it again in 86. But when it came to the Masters, he always came in second. Came in second place in 86, 87, 96. Just could never get over that hump. That was 1996. April 14th, 2019. This guy finally, I don't want to say he got over the hump, but he finally did it again. He thought he was done, but he did it. Seems like yesterday. Tiger Woods, he ended up winning his fifth green jacket. This is 2019, folks. I think this might be the last one we ever see from Tiger. This is the final call from CBS.
This is the minute that millions around the world have waited for. Waited for years. Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory.
Oh, wow. Now it's his that was number 15. Now it's his 15th major. We know he's three behind Jack Nicklaus. He ain't never getting there. And Tiger Woods is currently, he's recovering from his torn Achilles with his new girlfriend that he wants to maintain his privacy with, despite announcing it publicly to the world that this is his girlfriend and he wants to keep things private. Yeah, and some people are going to win and some people are going to lose. Good for them. Yeah, but those are a few things that took place this day in sports history. April 14th. We know what took place yesterday. This will go down in history. We heard from Rory McIlroy. This man held on to win a playoff, to actually win his first Masters, to win his first green jacket. And, you know, let's end on a high note. This is just history from yesterday, but let's take a listen to Rory McIlroy basically describe what it felt like to finally win the Masters.
It's a dream come true. I've dreamt about that moment for as long as I can remember. Watching Tiger here in 1997 do what he did and winning his first green jacket, I think that inspired so many of my generation to want to emulate what he did. I was nervous. It was one of the toughest days I've ever had on the golf course. I've literally made my dreams come true today.
Wow. And good for him. I was rooting for him yet. Hickey, I was torn, to be honest. I was rooting for him. But then when he was thinking of join up, I was just like, oh, this guy deserves to lose. I was torn.
I actually was also torn because I just didn't believe he could do it. So selfishly, I wanted to be right. So, yeah, so it was weird, to say the least. And when he missed the putt on 18, the first one, to send it to the playoffs.
Yes. I was like, man, I hope you lose. What you sticking to join up? Like, you had the lead, man. What are you doing here? And then he blew. And then when it got to the playoff, I'm like, now this might as well be a crapshoot. I'm like, this is, I don't know. I'm happy for him. And now I just want to see what he can continue to go out there and do. And this will have to wait until tomorrow. Like, who's next? Like, you brought this up earlier, Hickey. I'm going to dive into it tomorrow. Like, who's the next big athlete to just get over the hump to capture the big one? You think about somebody like Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen. I mean, this is real bad. Just damn, Hickey, was the college basketball national championship? Was it last Monday?
Yeah, a week ago.
Oh my God. Oh man. How the hell are we here already? Damn.
That does feel like a long time ago.
Like Kelvin Sampson can't get over the hump. It's not his fault. He's a coach, right? Can't blame him. Can we?
I mean, because I was going to say, if you want to open it up to coaches like Kyle Shanahan, Kelvin Sampson, like you said, I think's in there as well, come up short. There are a few coaches that, you know.
Well, you think about Shanahan. His future is tied to Brock Purdy. Can't wait to see what they're going to pay him next week. They'll announce it during the day of the draft. Watch.
Ooh.
Be like, we paying this guy $52 million a year. Great draft story. Why not? He'll
That's
get one. What would have happened? I mean, like Luka, he'll eventually win a title with the Lakers, because that's just the Lakers way. I wouldn't be shocked if LeBron James was still on the team. They have to fill out the back end of that roster, I think, and get some size. But we'll have that conversation tomorrow. Now that Rory finally did it, won himself a green jacket, completed the Grand Slam. Who's the next name in sports to finally win a championship? We'll talk about that tomorrow. This is going to be interesting as well. We're going to have the president of FIFA. Yeah, Infantino. President Infantino is going to join us as well. We got the World Cup here in America next year. We got the Club World Cup that is going to be on its way in June and July of this year, 11 cities. And so we got a busy show tomorrow. We'll see if any other NBA coaches get fired between now and then. You can find me online everywhere at JR Sport Brief. JR Sport Brief show here on the Infinity Sports Network. It is done. 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We'll be back. But don't move here now. Why? Because Bart Winkler is coming up next. Thank you so much to Carlos Boozer for joining us. Thank you as well to Wes Reynolds. Infinity Sports Network. JR Sport Brief show done. Bart Winkler next. Don't move. Thank you, Hickey.